Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, Dave Popwich. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm doing well. Congratulations. For once in your life, being older has its benefits.
Yep.
You're in line now for the vaccine?
I just squeaked in. 50 years old in a day.
Yeah, right.
No?
Yeah, 3 years ago you did. This is the first time in a long time I want fake ID.
I'll see what I can do. I'll slip it. You remember how you used to do it in school?
Just pass me your driver's license. Maybe I can get in there.
Close. Yeah. We look close.
Close enough.
You just say.
Yeah, just a little bit shorter. That's all it is.
This is summer.
Oh, God.
Okay. Sounds good.
But it's interesting. Yeah, the vaccine has been announced for many of the population over the age of 50.
Yeah.
Johnson & Johnson just got their okay from Health Canada. So things are, if the vaccine is the solution, things are looking better than they did a month ago. So,
right. Yeah, it's likely to accelerate in terms of the amount of Canadians that will be vaccinated, or the pace at which we're vaccinating, right?
Yeah.
That's good. And listen, vaccine is part of the story. There's no question, right? We can't have an economic recovery without people being able to go back to work.
Yeah.
The services sector in particular going back to work.
And get ready for a lot of conflicting messages, Dave, because we just heard from Texas that they're removing the mask mandate. 15 states, I believe it is now, don't quote me on that number, are now mask-free in their states, yet their numbers are growing at faster rates than ours. And so a bunch of questions are going to come out from individuals and the media as to, do we really need masks still? Now that the vaccine's coming, can't we just, you know, open up the economy sooner?
Sure.
All these different things are going to come out. So be prepared for more distraction and volatility because of that distraction as we move forward.
Okay, that's a really good segue. Let's talk about that distraction, because we've had volatile markets again this week. We've had volatile markets for the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, what's your explanation of why we've seen a lot of volatility, particularly in what did well last year, which was technology? What's your take on that?
Well, let's talk about the technology second. What's the reason? It's confusing again for people. Last year we were talking about really strong equity markets, but really kind of a terrible backdrop, right, with deaths and no vaccines and all of these things. And now we're talking about much better news, more vaccines, more people being vaccinated, economies reopening, people going back to work, and then we've got volatility again, right? It's confusing for people. Well, what's been happening recently, of course, is that interest rates have been moving higher on anticipation of higher inflation.
And we're referring to the U.S. 10-year Treasury as the benchmark of interest rates going up.
Correct.
Everything else kind of filters around that, Canada,
correct,
other countries, and so forth. But it's been primarily the U.S. 10-year Treasury that people have been keeping their eye on.
Right. And listen, Treasury prices, even after their yields as they've moved up, are still really near historical lows. But it's the pace at which that move took place that spooked the markets a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, why does that influence things like technology? Well, you think about the valuations of some of these companies, right? So, and it doesn't, not just technology, but growth stocks in general, stocks that did well last year, in many cases have got valuations that are historically very high. And so what happens is the market starts to be concerned about the potential of growth, what the borrowing costs are going to be, using that new higher interest rate to price a risk premium for what you're going to pay for that stock. There's a whole bunch of moving levers there, but it does influence the relative trade, the relative value between assets, and concerns about what those operating costs may look like, you know, for borrowing and so on and so forth. So there's a number of reasons why it does that. The scare this week was the Fed's commentary. Now, language is important, and the Fed in particular can move markets with their language.
Correct.
Or lack of language, whatever they
correct
said. You go back to Bernanke in 2013. That's where we got our first sniff of this. Central banks learned a lot from what that temper tantrum that the markets had in 2013. But most recently, aside from this one, you just have to go back to the fourth quarter of 2018.
That's right.
Under Fed Powell, Chair Powell, what we had was, again, some loose language that spooked the equity markets, or spooked the markets in general. Equities sold off in that fourth quarter. Language changed in early 2019. And we're back at it. So fundamentally, here we are again. The Fed chair did not give the market what it wanted. What it wanted was to hear that the Fed would employ what they call Operation Twist, stop buying bonds on the short end or reduce that, start buying U.S. Treasury bonds in that 10-year range and controlling the pace and the destination, how high rates are going to go. Now, we'll see what happens with the language going forward. But my fundamental belief, and you can give your opinion on this, is that central banks have been clear that they are not going to allow rates to appreciate at a pace that will derail the economic recovery.
Correct.
Okay. So is this a temporary temper tantrum? Maybe. Right. Is it likely that the central banks will step away? Their policy decision now is to step away and not control those rates? I think that's unlikely, mm-hmm. Okay? But this is what the market's trying to figure out right now.
What you're going to find interesting, and let's just assume for a second, we're around the 1.5, 1.6% yield on a 10-year Treasury.
Yep.
2% is what's been talked about now because we're moving higher. When you get to a 2% 10-year mm-hmm. Treasury, and you've seen what's happened with the price of stocks generally across the board, now an investor is going to say, why take the risk of stocks and get a 2% dividend when I can buy a bond at 2% and not have to worry because I know the U.S. government will pay me my interest on time.
Yeah, that's that relative trade idea, right?
Correct.
The relative value.
And so when we get closer to the number on the yield equivalent to what on average dividends are providing,
yep.
Let's say that the S&P 500, you start getting that conversation of let's pick one over the other. And so what happens when a lot of money chases after Treasury is the yield falls. And this is probably where it's in the playbook of the Federal Reserve to say, we might not have to do as much immediately because there is potentially a $1.9 trillion stimulus coming in from a fiscal perspective, which will spur this as well.
That's right.
And so this is the first time in many recessions where monetary stimulus and fiscal stimulus happening at the exact same time.
Right.
When you go back to 2008, it wasn't happening at the same. It was all in the central bank's back, and the governments weren't prepared to spend as much as they could have.
Right.
And now they're both getting in on the play, which just means way more stimulus. And I don't understand at this point in time why people are scared of this volatility. They should expect it. And why are they scared of investments that have fallen when those are the companies that are going to lead over the next 5 or 10 years?
Right.
And so it is a stock market picker's love right now, their right. dream, because it's not just a broad-based rally.
Yep.
It is a broad-based fall. But in pockets, it looks like there's opportunity. And I always talk about me going shopping. We're getting closer, and I love yep. going shopping. I don't know why. I like spending money.
Well, Chair Powell also in his commentary this past week said he sees the rise in interest rates as a, well, he called it orderly, but more importantly, he said this is a reward, that wasn't his word, for a recovering economy. Okay? And so keep that in mind from an investment perspective. Okay, we got to wrap up this particular segment. But we got to make sense of all this stuff, right? And you've got to plan for the future during uncertain times, and that's what we're going to be talking about.
So yeah, we're going to talk about this. What's interesting on this show is that we're going to talk about something that's called the future of art and curio collecting. This thing called NFTs, and should you invest in it? What's out there? This is going to be interesting because there's a new way of investing and a new way of collecting all combined into one, which is very interesting. We're going to talk about that today.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to talk about how you bulletproof your retirement at our upcoming webinar on Tuesday, March 23rd, 7 p.m., live online. Now, you need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com.
How can you use the blockchain to invest in things like art and music? Stick around after the break. We're going to talk about that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.